Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church for this, our first Lenten midweek service following Ash Wednesday. It's a blessing to be here in the house of our Lord to hear his word and continue our meditation upon the passion of our Lord, his suffering and death for us and for our salvation. If you are a guest and visiting with us here, we're especially glad you're here, along with all of our members alike. And please do fill out an attendance card you'll find in your pews. Hand those to our ushers when they collect the offering midway through our service. If you have a meal following the service, you're welcome to stick around and join us for that, for time of food and fellowship. Order of service for today is Divine Service Setting 2, beginning on page 167 in our hymnal. We do thank God for our 4th and 5th graders and our choir here at St. John, and they're singing for us here at the beginning of our service. We sing now our first hymn, 423, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have created all things and hold all things in order for our good and our benefit. We pray you to grant us continued repentance as we remember your love for us, so that we may rejoice in your great salvation for us, won by Jesus Christ and him crucified, and thus to share this saving gospel message with others. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapters 7, 8, and 9. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. And they and every beast, according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. At the end of the 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, And they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're seated as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A condition or place of great disorder or confusion. That is the definition of chaos. Our God is not a God of chaos or of disorder. In talking about worship, St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Without God, there is no order. And any society that does not have a governing authority exists in chaos. One of the greatest pictures of chaos in all of creation is the sea. Still, 90% of the world's oceans are undiscovered and unknown. There can be peace and quiet on the water in a moment of time, but then wind and waves and storms gather and chaos ensues. For that reason, the oceans have long been feared for their unpredictability. When water is not held in check, there can be great chaos. And because of water's great power, chaos on the seas can lead to mass destruction. You know the comfort of a cool mist or a gentle shower, calming, relaxing, peaceful. But soon that drizzle turns into pouring. Low-lying lands fill up quickly and the waters begin to surge. Water rising just above the ankles and moving at a certain speed can even knock a person over. Water possesses immense power. Enough of it can destroy anything. An undersea earthquake causes a tsunami to reach shore hundreds of miles away, demolishing anything then in its path. In his first act of creation, Almighty God created the universe, the heavens, and the earth in their chaotic forms. The earth was without form and void, Moses writes in Genesis chapter 1, but the waters were there upon the earth. And God needed to separate those waters from the water. You know and I know that is no easy task. You put your hand in to divide any type of water and the water will go where your hand is not, quickly taking up that space. Water needs something to control it, to contain it. God put waters up above the skies and down below upon the earth, the atmosphere. For us, he put between. God then contained the waters in certain locations upon the earth, allowing dry land to appear. With water then in ordered places, mankind was free to dwell in peace and harmony. We still need water for our living. Makes up 70% of our own bodies and is needed for drinking and cleaning and for watering and for growing. When Adam and Eve sinned, God placed a curse upon them and on the entire earth. Before, a calming mist was present for all the world to teem with life everywhere. But after the fall, rain would cease to fall everywhere. Dry seasons then appeared throughout the world. Lightning storms could bring fires to forests and to plains. Hurricanes and monsoons would flood once suitable places for living. Water was now a prominent force in God's creation. A man's wickedness and evil grew rapidly after Adam and Eve's fall into sin. Within the very first generation, children born to Adam and Eve, the first taking of a brother's life by his own brother took place. After centuries of worsening corruption and destruction, God saw that the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. As a result, God removed the boundaries between the waters above and the waters below. For 40 days and 40 nights, all of the waters of the earth were united. The whole earth then was covered with water, the highest peak 20 feet below the surface. The world has not been the same since. If you've been to the beach, perhaps you have built a sandcastle. You put in a lot of work to make that castle just right, only to have a little bit of water from a wave come and ruin the foundation of that castle. Inundate the whole world with all of that water, and you can imagine the devastation. Nothing could survive. The movement of the water then would alter the appearance of the earth forever. Put the waters back into place, God would have to pull back the floors of the earth and create mountain peaks and vast valleys down below where the oceans would form. massive ice age would arrive not long after in the areas, especially in the northern parts of the globe, where the coldest places would be. Water would eventually evaporate. In other locations that were flatter, and the plains would then appear. Christian scientists have stated that the earth is still recovering from the flood, and even still warming back up since the waters cooled things off. God's people, the Hebrews, they had been set free by God from slavery to Egypt, only to find themselves with nowhere to go. Behind them was the Egyptian enemy quickly approaching. In front of them, the Red Sea. No boats, no bridges, no place to cross. Yet, by God's command, Moses lifted up his staff over the waters of the sea, and the waters separated from the waters. A massive wall of water appeared on either side of a fully dried out path right through the middle of the sea. The Lord, of wind and of wave, demonstrated his vast power once again. Nothing is impossible with God. The Sea of Galilee had become known for its suddenly violent storms. They were so bad that highly seasoned fishermen feared for their lives in the midst of some of them. That is where the disciples of Jesus found themselves in our gospel text for today. Where was Jesus? Asleep. In the back of the boat, without a care in the world. Those men knew the destructive power of water, and they knew that they could do nothing to stop it. But who slept in the back of the boat was the master of the sea. He awoke, rebuked the storm, and it stopped instantly. Jesus brought calm and peace to the chaotic sea. God has used water for judgment, and he uses water for life and for growth. It is no wonder, then, that baptism was instituted by Jesus for sinners to join with him. You are united with Christ in the waters of baptism. You are placed into the very waters of salvation, those that wash away all your sin. United with Christ in baptism, you are now different to the world. You are light and you are salt, as Jesus has said. And the dark world does not like your light. And the bland world of sin does not want your strong seasoning of the very word of truth. And so judgments and persecutions and trials and tribulations rush against you as a violent storm. Yet you are kept safe and secure in Christ, the ark of his church. The chaos of sin and of death and of destruction are calmed. Sin is defeated in Jesus' death upon the cross. Now, sin wreaks havoc in the world around us. It also wreaks havoc in your soul. Harboring those sins and not confessing them causes your bones to waste away. As the psalmist proclaimed, your resentment toward God and toward others only grows. Chaos. And when you confess your sins, repenting of them, God calms the chaos of those seas. And he gives you peace in the forgiveness of sins won by Christ. Water is a powerfully destructive force. But our Savior is even more so. By his word, your sin is destroyed, forgiven, and peace is yours. Now, John, the apostle, sees this in the great revelation as the sea is before the throne of Christ as glass. No more chaos. No more destruction. Only peace. Only calm. That is the power of Jesus Christ and of Him crucified and resurrected for you. Forgiveness, life, salvation, peace, and calm. In Jesus, amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray now for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Lord, you have established your church, endowed your church with your saving word, and granted to your people the washing of new birth and the blessed food of Christ's body and blood. Bless all pastors and servants of the church in their ministry to us, and bless us that we may receive these means of grace for our benefit now and for our eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have given us the gift of land, allowed us to use it to our benefit and to the benefit from the fruits of the earth. You have bestowed upon us the privilege of labor and of rest. Grant your blessing to our nation, to those who govern us in your name, and to those who defend us against our enemies. Guide us to be a people of peace, to have respect for life from its natural beginning to its natural end, and to be generous with all your gifts. Restore peace once more to all nations, and prevent further attacks and destruction. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you will not abandon us in our time of need. Grant to those afflicted in body or mind, the grieving and the dying, the fullness of your gracious presence and grace to sustain them in faith and hope, until you deliver them into your nearer presence. We pray especially at this time for those we name in our hearts. Grant healing and strength, and give faith and patience to all as they wait on you. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of love, you have set your table in our midst, and you feed us upon the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we may recognize his sacrificial offering now present as our blessed food, eating and drinking in repentance and faith. Equip us by this feast of love to love you above all, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. Remembering the faithful who now rest from their labors and giving thanks for their confession of Christ and service to him, we pray that we may be kept holy and blameless until the day of Christ's coming. Bring to completion all things, O Lord, especially that good work begun in us in our baptism, that nothing may prevent us from being reunited with those who have gone before us in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, we offer you the prayers of your people with our faith that you will grant us all that is needful. Through the mercies and merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. We're seated now as the closing hymn is sung.